chapter 5. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 5. And once you've found your place, if you're able to stand, please do so in respect to God's word. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. It's good to be gathered together and opening the word of God once again together, praising the Lord together, and hearing from the Lord tonight. James chapter 5. And we're going to turn to verses 13. James chapter 5, beginning from verse 13, the Bible says, "If any among you is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Amen. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions, as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we do ask tonight that you have your blessing upon your word to our hearts. We do ask and pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to remove anything that would hinder us tonight, any cares, troubles, fears, worries, anxiety, perhaps thinking about tonight or tomorrow, responsibilities. I pray, Father, that you may remove them, that we may hear the word of God in peace. I pray, Father, that we may open our heart for you to be sober and vigilant, ready to receive what you would speak to us about. We do ask and pray that you minister to our souls. Help us by your grace and by your power to be doers of that which we hear, for your glory, Father, and for the sake of the gospel. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as their own personal Savior, that you may continue to give them understanding of their need. And I pray that you enlighten them to the truth of God's word. Father, we love you and we thank you that we can come together tonight and praise you with godly music and listen to wonderful music and no doubt to open the word of God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises in which we can claim from your word. And we thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God that helps us live out the word of God. We love you, Lord, and we praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We all desire for our prayers to be heard of God. We desire that our prayers will be prayers that are prevailing, answered by God and prevailing. And God will hear us. We, no doubt, at times struggle to understand what the will of God is and whether, and if it's not revealed from the Word of God, we will call it the unseen will of God. And therefore, at times, we may struggle with that. And certain times, we may experience the silence of God in our lives. We're praying about something, we're not getting an answer. Or perhaps God did answer, but we're expecting another answer. We spoke about that this morning. And this may cause our prayers at times to be rattled, cause us to doubt sometimes whether or not God is hearing us. And no doubt, instead of prevailing, there are declining, there are derailing. And you may ask tonight, well, I really don't want my prayers to be rattled. I don't want to have any doubt in my prayer. I want my prayer to prevail. I want to make sure that God is hearing my prayer, regardless how it's answered. I really want to know that God is hearing me and my prayers are reaching to the ears of God. We want to see a man tonight named Elijah. And the Bible says that his prayers availed much. In other words, his prayers prevailed. They were answered by God. We want to look just briefly tonight in his life. We can see a whole heap of principles and we can touch on a whole heap of things. But tonight we want to just see his prevailing prayer. And we want to touch on that tonight. James speaks about this as recorded and inspired by God. And we see in first place tonight the persistence of Elijah in his prayers. He prayed earnestly. Notice what the Bible says. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. That means he made it a habit that he'd seek God in prayer. And it's a good thing that you and I would seek God in prayer above everything else. It'd be a good thing for us that if we were faced with a tragedy or faced with a decision that was tough and hard, that we won't try to rationalize or we won't try to understand sometimes what's taken place or go to this person or that person. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it would be a good habit to start to seek God first about what's going on. And that's what it means for praying earnestly, that he was a man of prayer, that he'd come before God with his petitions, if you would, or his supplications. I want you to leave your finger to James, but also go to 1 Kings. We're going to go back and forth between these two passages. So go to 1 Kings chapter 17. The Bible says he prayed earnestly that it may not rain. Now, can you imagine that with me tonight? Praying for a famine. I don't think there'll be anyone here tonight really praying for a famine. In other words, we won't say, God, I don't want it to rain today, or be more specific, I really don't want you to feed me today, Lord. On the contrary, God asks us to pray for daily bread. But God would lay this on Elijah's heart for the simple fact that it would be a judgment upon Ahab, the wicked king, for misleading the children of God. And so therefore God will lead Elijah to pray in such a way where he would pray that it may not rain, there'll be a famine in the land. And by the way, let me just say this, God always provides during famine for his people. The psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous suffer hunger. There's always a way which God will supply. And God did supply for Elijah by the brook and by the ravens. And when that finished, he supplied a little widow with a little bread, a morsel of bread and a little cake, if you would. And God provided that way. But we want to see his prayer in a sense where he prayed that it may not rain and God heard that prayer. Can you imagine you stopping rain? That praying to the point where you will confuse those that forecast the weather? No, I'm saying that that can happen. We're going to come back to the end of this and we're going to see that Elijah was a man just like you and me. And he prayed that the weather would change. Wow. And you say, well, in verse 1 there, where's his prayer? Well, we don't really see much about it, even though James talks about it. But we do see this in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the king of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. Now that's a prayer with great, faith. That's a prayer with great confidence. So we see that it was a prayer and it wasn't something that would be taken lightly. It was judgment upon Ahab. Go to 1 Kings 16, back it up a little and have a look in verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And note this in verse 31, and it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. Now, can you understand that it was a light thing for him to think it, okay, this is not a big deal. He's an evil king. I'll follow in his footsteps. It was a light thing. It didn't, really make him flinch in any way, shape, or form. So this prayer that was prayed specifically for judgment upon Ahab and causing them to realize that their God, Baal, is nothing. What are you going to do now, Ahab? What are you going to do now that there's no rain? I guarantee you, you prayed to your false God and he's not going to bring down the rain. And there's no way in the world Baal was able to do anything like that. He was a false god with no power. No power like the holy almighty God. And so it was judgment upon Ahab, but it was the same time God will use Elijah to demonstrate the power of God, and it will be through the prayer of Elijah. It's a wonderful thing. And we also see that he didn't only pray earnestly, but he prayed consistently. This time that it may rain. Notice verse 18 in James, leave your finger in 1 Kings, and the Bible says, and he prayed, what is it? Again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Now, this went on time and time again. We'll look at that back, going back in 1 Kings. So in other words, his prayers were persistent, they were constant, and they were brought before the Lord. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11 quickly. We'll have a look at something there. Luke chapter 11. And the Bible says there, beginning from verse 5, and he said unto them, Jesus speaking, which of you having a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. But I say unto you, that he will not rise and give him because he is friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Because this is what? Persistence. He's constant. He's not because he was his friend, but because he came and he kept on and didn't give up and kept approaching. Notice verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Ask, and it shall be given you. And we know that if we ask, according to 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in Christ. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We need to come to God according to his will. We know that if we come according to God's will, he hears us. God's power be known and exposed to us when we're praying in his will according to his ways. And we know that for a fact. God says, ask and you shall receive as long as it's in the center of God's will. But I want you to see there in Luke 11, 9, and I say unto you, ask and ye shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall what? Find. And I know and I understand the truth. Those that seek the Lord will find him. Those that seek the truth will receive the truth. But in the context in which we're looking at, we can say that if we're seeking to have an answer to prayer, this is a good time to say, Lord, I want to seek and watch and be sober for that answer that will come. I want to seek for it. I want to watch for it. And I want to have faith mixed in that. That's what seeking is all about, that I am actually going to find. I heard a story about a drought that had taken place, and this Scottish preacher was preaching one morning that it may rain. And that afternoon, his little daughter brought an umbrella, and she handed it down to her father, preacher, and said, here you go, Papa. He goes, what's that for? Well, she said, well, you prayed for rain. Aren't we going to expect it to rain? And that was a lesson that he had learned. When you pray, expect the fact that you're going to find the answer to your prayers. Seek and you shall find. It's just not praying for the sake of praying, because it makes us feel good and we go endeavor to do our own thing. We're seeking to pray and, to get an answer and find an answer from God. And then goes on to say, knock and it shall be open unto you. This is the fact of, you know what, this is the importunity that we're looking at. This is the consistency or the persistence that we have in God answering our prayers. I'm not going to stop knocking until God opens that door. And this is the case. God is saying to us here, just keep knocking at my door. Just keep praying and just keep being persistent. If you want your prayers to prevail, then you must be persistent in prayer. You must keep on knocking until you seek and you find, and the door is open. He prayed until he received an answer, despite the answer. Despite what the answer would be. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, note it there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up and to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, now I want you to go up. Go up now. Look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. There's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Now the significance of this is we see persistent prayer three times, but in this case it could be the fact that he was praying several times. And he prayed knowing that God was going to answer, hence what he said to Ahab, and knowing that some point in his persistence in praying, that somewhere down the line, God was going to give him an answer. That's the persistence. And a prevailing prayer would be a persistent prayer. A prayer that I seek God and I'm seeking him for an answer. I'm asking him that he might hear my prayer. Ask and ye shall what? Receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. And the prevailing prayer is one that persistence is taking place, that God is going to hear me. Well, that's what I want. I don't just want it to be a ritual. I really just don't want it to be something that is holy and right to do as a Christian. I sure want to pray with purpose. And no doubt he prayed with purpose, expecting that God will answer his prayer. So he prayed with persistence. But also we want to see that the power of Elijah. Notice in James chapter 5, verse 16, not only the persistence of Elijah, but the power of Elijah. Note it now. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Note this now. The effectual fervent prayer. This word here, the effectual fervent, is the Greek word energeo. Mean comes from the English word energy. This word here is to be active. It's to be mighty in. It's to show forth a heart, if you would. I'm praying with all my heart. I'm praying with fervency. I'm praying not cold or lukewarm. I'm praying with boldness. It's an effectual energy that I'm praying in. And that power, I want you to understand, comes only by God's name. Note it in verse 14. If any man be sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil. In what? In the name of the Lord. The psalmist said, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and earth. The psalmist goes on to say in Psalm 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. And so if we want our prayers to be powerful, we need to pray in the power of God's name, in Jesus' name. And sometimes that name is taken for granted, isn't it? We don't think about the power that it has. And the power that the name of the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess at his name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ, the Jehovah God. Jesus is God. And in his name do we pray, in the name of the Lord. Not only in the name of the Lord is a powerful prayer, but a prayer mixed with faith. The Bible says in James 5:15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Not any prayer, but a prayer with faith. In other words, a prayer that is mixed with believing that God will answer. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree." I won't go into that, but you know what happened to the fig tree. It was cursed. "But also, if ye say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, it shall be done." He says in verse 22, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." The prayer of faith is a powerful prayer. And no doubt Elijah had faith. "Ahab, get ready to eat and drink. Get ready to eat and drink." Said to his servant, "Go up, watch for the rain. Go and see. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them." Note it, that diligently seek him. And if you are going to have faith, then you must have diligence. And knowing that he's able. And God, it really just thrills his heart. It pleases God. It pleases him. You know why? Because your trust in his integrity. You're trusting in the fact that God is going to hear your prayer. God wants to hear your prayer. God wants to answer your prayer. Again, we're talking in the context, as long as it's in God's will. God delights to hear your cry. God wants to attend to your cry. But it must be by faith. And then we see a prayer that is heard is a prayer of power in the name of God. And it's a prayer of faith. A prevailing prayer is a persistent prayer, powerful prayer. But also we want to see now the position of Elijah. Verse 16, the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye might be healed." The effectual fervent prayer, note this is position now, of a what? Righteous man availeth much. This is an upright man. This man was positioned in God. If you would, and if you do want to say this, and it makes you feel good because of our position as the church, we're positioned in Christ and we stand justified. Amen. But we need to continue now to walk in the Spirit. And the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. A man that is going to be heard is a man that is righteous and upright in the way of God, is someone that seeks ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and is not indifferent about the things regarding God or his will, but must take things seriously. I've said it on Wednesday, I'm going to say it again. If you desire to have the will of God fulfilled in your life and your prayers to be prevailing, then you must take God's word serious. Why would God ever, ever take our prayers serious if we don't seek to take his word serious? If we don't have a desire to seek his word, the seen will of God, why would God ever answer the unseen will of God in our lives? Why would he do that? Well, needs to be someone that's upright, someone that's walking in the steps of the Lord. The Lord is directing their steps according to the word. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but heareth the prayer of the righteous." A righteous man must have, or woman, lady, child, must have a love and the word of God, must have a desire to live the word of God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Must be someone that loves the word of God and desires to live the word of God, is not shy about being reproved, is not shy about being corrected or instructed in the way. Because knowing this, that the word of God enables me to see what's wrong and corrects me to get it right and instructs me to keep it right, helps me become right with God, walking in the right way. I tell you, if I'm walking in the way of the Lord, then I'm going to have my prayer prevailing. If I'm a man or a woman that loves the word of God, submitting to the word of God, then I know for a fact that God will hear my prayer. And I must be someone that stands for the truth of God's word. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20, notice. And so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I'll tell you. I mean, honestly, there must become a time for every single person in this room, right here, right now, and say, I'm going to follow God. And you know what? The world today and the God of this age is what? It's not Baal. It's the world system. It's the worldliness, the God of the age, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. This is the idol which has a pull on our 21st century people today. This is the image, if you would, or the statue, the cosmos that we're fighting against. And every single person needs to say, okay, I'm going to choose God. I'm not going to hold between two opinions. I'm not going to be indifferent. And by the way, once I choose God, I'm going to be sure happy about him. I'm not going to say, I made this decision to go the way of the Lord and I'm going to miss out a whole on different things. No, you know what? I want to be over these things. I want to reach to the point in my life that I am a man of God. I am a woman of God. I am a person that is following God and not the world system. And that's what God's looking for. But many people today want to hold between two opinions. They want God and they want their partying, right? They want God and they want their lustful desires. They want God and they want the other things that come with the world. But you can't do that. Well, not unless, of course, you want the power of God in your life. Not unless, of course, you want God's will to be fulfilled in your life. Not unless, of course, you want your prayers to prevail. You must stand where God stands. Moses stood there when he came down and he found that Aaron and others were worshipping a golden calf, dancing, making racket. He said to Joshua, sounds like war, but that racket and that worldly music was only but what it was, but it sounded like war. It was a racket. And he went down and he said, anyone that's on God's side, come over this side. Come stand over here. And let me just say something here tonight. You sure may be saying that with your lips, but make sure that your heart is saying it too. Make sure that your heart is not still in Egypt. Make sure that your heart is not still in Sodom and that you want to glance and look back. And by the way, let me say something to you. There's nothing there anyway. Young people, if you haven't been to Egypt and you haven't been in the scum of this world, you know, praise God. Amen. I had a little message today after the morning service, and the message came and said regarding prayer. It said, I don't have Facebook, but God's still my friend. I don't have Twitter, but I still talk to God. And if for those that know a little bit about Twitter, it's where people follow you. So I replied and said, that's good, that's great. I don't have Twitter, but I still follow God. Amen. God doesn't have Twitter, but I still follow God. And she went back and said, I didn't know really how Twitter works, and thank God that we don't. Sometimes for some people, it's just a distraction. You get caught up in this worldly system of chat and this and that, and it gets you in the center of here, there, and everywhere, and it gets you away from what really matters. And that's what the world wants to do. It wants to pull you down, pull you in, suck you in. It wants you to be part of this system. It wants you to be part of this, look at me. Look, I'm on display. Everybody, look at me. That's what it wants you to do. Whether you intended it to be or not, that's just the world system. But God says, I want you to be a man of God. You want your prayers to mean much to me? then I want you to know that I need to know from you right here, right now, that you're standing with me. I need to know that. You want your prayers to prevail? Are you with me? Or are you still in between deciding? And I guarantee if you're still here trying to decide what you want to do, you're not going to have your prayers answered. And by the way, I won't come to you and say, pray for me. If you're still making a decision, I won't go to you and say, pray for me. I want to go to someone that's with God, talking with God, moving with God. I want to know that this person's in tune with God. I want to go to people that have a walk with God and stand for the truth. And their decision has been made. They're not wavering. They have a walk with God. God hears their cry. It's amazing how many people in my life, mentors from the time being at church and from the time of being in Bible college, that I'll just go and confess my sins and say, look, this is what's wrong with me, and please pray for me in this area and pray in that area. And I'll tell you something, Abigail, I wouldn't be here right now if it weren't for these men praying for me, these holy men of God, that I can really go up to and say, God's going to hear their prayer. I know it. I can look up someone like Pastor Hess and say, God's going to hear this man. This man is done and dusted. He's sold out for God. I can really see it on him. It's on him. I don't have a problem going with him and saying, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? And by the way, let me just say this. It doesn't have to be someone that is aged not only in life but in Christianity. It could be someone that's just a babe in Christ and they have a love for God, they have a zeal for God, and they're doing what God wants them to do in the revelation in which they've been exposed to, and they're obedient and they're teachable, and God loves that spirit. To him, to know it, to do good and doing it, doeth it not, to him is sin. And when God sees that spirit, when God sees that person so teachable, so sensitive to God, their prayers will be answered. I don't even have a problem with going to a young babe in Christ. Sometimes it's better. The simplicity of things. They don't even know all the politics of Christianity and this and that. And I just want to run to them and say, pray for me. I stopped. When we're in the Solomon Islands, I said to the group, I said, would you pray for me? I'm going through some problems and pain. I really don't want to have this facial expression on my face, the countenance, this affliction that I had. It was troubling me. I've had it perhaps 2 months, and some of the men, I've exposed it to you, that this problem that I had, and it was painful. And just as I got to the airport, it came. And sometimes this pain, I tell you, makes me just jump on my bed and cry. Brings tears. And I sure didn't want it when I was there doing the ministry, being hot, muggy, and trying to lead these people. I stopped. I said, could you pray for me? And they prayed. And they were praying every day. And not one day after that night, I was in pain. And did you know what? When I got back, I felt it again come back. I go back. I said, would you pray for me? It's coming back. Yeah. Done and dusted. Men that stand, ladies, children that stand with God. People that simply know where they are with God. They have a walk with God. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 8, notice what the Bible says. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Wow. They must have a good walk with God, a love for God. Noah had a walk with God. Abraham was called the friend of God. Moses spoke to God face to face as if he spoke to a friend, and Elijah, no doubt, had a walk with God. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Beginning there from verse 17, you know the story. The Lord sends him to the Shittimite woman, this widow there, and God would supply Elijah's need. This man of God would supply his need through this widow. And she believes the word of the Lord, or the man of God, which the Lord had given the word to Elijah. And Elijah promised that this oil and this would continue on, would overflow until it rained again. I want you to bring your attention to verse 17. This is what I want to look at, though. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was sore, that there was no breath left in him. Died. And she said unto Elijah, "What I have to do? What I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Hast thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and cried, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?" Notice this, and he stretched himself upon the child three times. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." Notice verse 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thou son liveth." And the woman said unto Elijah, "Now this I know," note that please, "that thou art man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true." Elijah, now I know that you are truly a man of God and that you walk with God, because God has heard your cry. Many reports in the SLAM ministry, and in particularly when I had the opportunity to go every week. And during this time, around about winter time, it'd be drizzling on a Friday night, would expect to go, and some that played touch football would hope that the grass would not be wet so we can continue to go into the visit. So we spend the night praying and saying, "Lord, please be with the rain, stop the rain." And wake up in the morning and it'll be still drizzling, and people will send me text messages and say, "What's going on? What are we doing? Are we still going?" I said, "We're going. We're going to go. Let's see what happens at the gate." Mind you, it's an hour drive all the time. So we get to the gate and they let us in because it's just drizzling. And as we walked in, the rain stopped. And we played and we did what we normally do after we play. We share a testimony and then someone shares the word of God. And then we have one-on-one time with the inmates. And when that finishes, we check back out. And as soon as we go back into those doors, now this doesn't happen all the time, but it's happened several times, it starts bucketing and pouring. We shut that door and we look back and we go, "Whoa." And then we just hear it. We didn't only hear it one time, but we've heard it several times. God must be on your side, from one of the guards. That was one comment. "Oh, you must know someone." They say it in a sarcastic way. And sometimes that just leaves a mark on us, thinking, yeah, we do know someone. He's God, our Father in heaven. And he hears the cry of his children, especially when those that are in his will. Now, many a times God did not stop the rain. And at times we were allowed in and we didn't play any sport. We spent all the time sharing. Now, that was a blessing. That doesn't normally happen, but most part it happened a few times. You know, SLAM ministry is a sport ministry. It allows us to get into the prison via sport. And it's a Christian ministry, which allows us to share the word of God with them. Without the sport ministry, it's pretty hard to get in some places. So they love the sport. But that's why we pray that, Lord, keep it for good weather. And God has. And it was a testimony, like this widow, to these guys. I'm talking about, you can really tell that we walk in and walk out and God's got his hand on it. It's just been amazing the way God's worked that way. Now, you may be here tonight and you may say, I'm upright in my way. I know I have a walk with the Lord. I'm standing here. That's a fact. I'm not dabbling and I'm sure over it. And God's still working in my life, but I'm here in my heart and in my mind. I'm here. I love the Word of God. Sure want to grow. I'm sensitive to God. I love God. But many a times I'm struggling with my prayers. I'm struggling to know the will of God. I'm struggling to know when to stop. And having faith. I mean, if I pray several times, does that mean I have a lack of faith? I mean, I don't know if that happens to you, but at times it happens to me. I want to pray with faith. I want to pray believing. And so I pray several times about this and I still don't get an answer. So what do? Do you continue to pray? Is it because you have a lack of faith that you're not getting that answer? What's going on? By the way, who's felt this before? Anyone felt like this before about certain things? I want to help you. I want to give you 3 points tonight. Go to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Psalm 28, verses 1 to 2, the Bible says, this is a psalm of David, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy temple. Please, Lord, I do not want to be treated like those that do not know you, Lord. Be not silent to me. When that usually takes place in your life and you know that you're right with the Lord, but you're still not just getting an answer, something's taking place, why don't you just tell God about it? Hey, Lord, are you silent? Is there any reason why you're silent? Lord, please don't be silent to me. And then number two, I want you to see, pray fervently. I know we touched on this, but we saw a pattern in Paul's life this morning. He prayed 3 times and got an answer. It was no. Elijah prayed how many times? 3 times and got an answer, and it was yes. So, Lord, I'm just going to pray, and I want to pray fervently. I want to know, is it a yes or is it a no? And, Lord, I'm happy with whatever it may be. And that's the third point. Be content to wait on the Lord and for his prompting that he may bring up that need again if he answers not a word. It may just be that you're impatient. It just may be that you are not waiting patiently. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. It may be that you're not patient and that God wants you to just be patient and wait. It may be that God is working in another area of your life and he doesn't sure want you to pray for that, but he wants you to pray for something else and he's trying to get your attention. He didn't say you know yet to that. He said, just wait. Come back here. I want you to pray for that. Come back. Leave it here. Maybe it may not be a no and it sure may not be a yes, but it may be a wait. And God perhaps wants you to wait patiently. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Note it, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds with what? Perfect what? Peace. Well, which is in Christ Jesus. My heart is fixed on thee. God will give you peace. He doesn't want you to be wavering. He doesn't want you to be, just simply going back and forth, doubting. God wants you to understand that it could be a yes, it could be a no, it could be a wait. And God will give you peace about every decision that he gives you. It's a wonderful thing. So what do we see? We'll bring it to God. So, Lord, please don't be silent to me. I don't want to be treated like the heathen. Lord, I'm walking right with you, and I just want to know, is it yes? I'm praying diligently three times about this, or is it no? And if it's a wait, I'm willing to wait as long as it takes. It could be something else that you're working in my life. Well, not only we see the persistence, the power, and the position of Elijah, but we also now see, lastly, his person. He was a man of like passions. He was human, just like you and me. Yeah, well, he's a prophet. Well, Apostle Paul is the Apostle Paul. Well, we look at these people and we think there's something great about them. Can I remind you here tonight? There's nothing great about them. Someone said to Hudson Taylor, oh, missionary to China, what great faith you have. And he said, I don't have a great faith. I just have faith in a great God. And you know what? Elijah knew that he was insignificant. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, he didn't see himself to be someone special. He was just a man that had a great God. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, notice what the Bible says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Look, listen, let me say something. He went through depression. Yeah. He went through times where he said, Lord, when's the rapture? Lord, take me home. Yeah, just like you and me. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my father's. I'm just nothing but my frame, but dust. Just a man. Yep. Like passions. Well, that means there's no excuses, is there? If he's just a man, hungers and thirsts and goes through depression and at times wants to give up and give in, then I guess there's no excuse for you and I not to have a heart for God. I guess there's no excuse for you and I for not being persistent in our walk with God. I guess there's no excuse for us not to have the power of God in our lives. Why? That our prayers may prevail. No excuse. It's just a person that had a persistent walk with God, even to the point where he wanted to die. He told God about it. You ever feel that way sometimes? That you're still walking with the Lord, but you're just down and out and discouraged. It's down and out. You want to get in your cave for a little bit? But he still had a heart for God. Matter of fact, he was translated in heaven. Didn't die. Didn't see death. Wow. And God says he's just a man just like you and me. There's no excuses. There's not, this is the great Apostle Paul and this is the great nothing great about them. Paul the Apostle said, in us dwelleth no good thing. The only good thing that he ever had was the Holy Spirit of God. The same power that works in him works in you. He may have different vocation. He may have a different ministry. But we have the same God with the same power, and it's available for you today. The question is, do you have or do you want a heart for God? Then you must have a persistent walk with God. In tune with God. Earnest in your prayers. Praying again. Having a walk with God that will demonstrate the power of God, your prayers being effectual and fervent. Heart, meaning passion, seeking, knocking, ready to receive. expecting God to answer. Faith. And righteous. Positioned in Christ and walking as God orders my steps. Just a man. Having the power of God upon your life will have your prayers prevailing. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe that's you tonight. You say,